Blog Talk Radio.
Tiffany Thompson is the founder and CEO of It's All About You Ministry International, located in Chicago, Illinois. She was born and raised on the west side of Chicago. Anointed by the Lord Jesus Christ, she is gifted to reach people of various backgrounds and nationalities. She is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ with a strong prophetic call on her life. It's All About You Ministry was given to her by way of the Holy Spirit in January 2005 from out of her home. She has touched a lot of many, whether in local churches, street corners, or workplace. Her ultimate goal is to advance the kingdom of God. She is an entrepreneur, writer, poet, and motivational speaker, all for the kingdom of God. Tiffany Thompson has received a certificate from the Samuel School of Prophets under the instructor, Apostle Raphael Robinson, CEO, founder of Word Kingdom. And now, without further ado, here's Miss Tiffany Thompson.
Thank you. Thank you for the applause. Thank you. God bless you. I would like to welcome you all to It's All About You radio show with Tiffany Thompson and Dennis Weston, and we're live as usual every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Amen. Thank you all for calling in, and thank you all for listening. God bless you, Dennis. How are you?
I'm great. I'm hanging in there. You know how it is when, you know, on that Wednesday. You know how it is. That Wednesday is when is it going to be the next day?
Amen.
I
would love for you all to be patient with me tonight because my voice is gone. I'm sorry. And I've been fighting with this all day. And I'm like, okay. So I might have to be pull on you a little harder tonight. But I just want to thank God for the opportunity to be in His presence to do this show every week. I want to thank God for the opportunity to be able to reach people all over the world throughout radio, internet, and so forth. Our ultimate goal is to advance the kingdom, and that's what we're here to do. Amen. So tonight, we have a special show going on with a special host, Pastor Jadea Brown, an awesome man of God. I've watched his life probably for the past year, and I watch him do a lot of work, not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. And I've been blessed by what he's doing because I know the journey he's on is not an easy one. It's not an easy one. But we know in everything you do, we need God. And especially when you're going after the youth, this generation is the next generation. And so I'm excited tonight, Dennis. I really am. I'm excited tonight. I just hate that my voice, I just can't believe this happened to me. But I'm grateful.
Yeah, well, you should be glad that it did happen to you because that's like, you know, that the devil can't take away none of your strength. Even if you try to take your voice away, we're going to, you know, if you got to just make some noise signals with your elbow, we're gonna figure it out. We got a powerful man of God on the line, too, as well, Pastor Brown. You know, I've been doing a little bit of research on him, too, man, and I know he's going to get on here and anoint the airwaves. So you good. You good today, sir.
Amen. You're good. Amen. Amen. I really appreciate that. Thank you all for having my back and being a voice for me tonight. Amen. Oh, wow. So, Father, well, we just want to thank you. Before we go in, we always try to open up with a word of prayer. And I'm going to do what I can do, the best I can do. But most of all, it's not about the volume. It's all about what's behind it. because we want the Holy Spirit to have his way on tonight. We want God to come in like and do what it is he do. But most of all, we want answers. You know, we want answers for the next generation, for our youth. Because after we're gone, then it's them. And right now, in certain areas and places, it's not looking that good. Women are discouraged, you know, about their children dying. And so tonight, we want to talk about that. So that's why we have him here. That's why we have him here. If you want to bring him on, we can bring him on. But we still want to open up in prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me just get his microphone, man. Let me introduce this guy here, man. Actually, this pastor here, man, don't need no introductions. And I keep getting the first name. You know, Olympia on the word. So I'm going to say, if he allows me, I'm going to say Mr. Pastor Jay Brown. Mr. Pastor Jay Brown is in the building. So he tell me his actual correct name, how to pronounce it. Is that okay, Mr. Pastor Brown?
That's fine, man. I'm glad to be on it. It's About You with Tiffany Thompson, and that's Jedediah.
Jedediah. There we go.
Jedediah.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
It means beloved of Yahweh. I used to didn't like my name. I've grown to love it.
Wow. Well, I just want to thank you. We want to openly thank you for the invitation, for accepting the invitation, of our invite, and especially with a short amount of time. But I believe when God drops someone or something in our spirit and we move on it, it immediately begins to happen. That's when we know it's God and not ourselves. And we were having a conversation about the youth. We've talked about so much on the show, but we haven't gotten a chance to tap or even hit the surface of the youth and what's going on in our city. Whether it's our city or another city, it's still the next generation. And that's what we wanted to address tonight. And what better person the guy could just drop in my spirit. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and try to contact him now. And so that we'll know and we'll see ahead of time what date, because he's a very busy man. And we want to see, can he make this happen? Not just for us, but for the listeners, for families, for generations. And he accepted our invitation, and we're glad about it. And we want to say thank you. I'm going to say a short prayer because we want the Lord in here. We want to keep him first in all that we do. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, Lord, we seek you first. For you said, seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. All that we need, it will be added. And so, God, we seek you on tonight, Lord. And we lift this show up unto you. And we lift up the listeners, Father. And we lift up everything, God, concerning your people. And we say, have your way, God. Bless on tonight, Father. Encourage on tonight. Build up. Strengthen, Father. In the name of Jesus, God. Father, bless this man of God, Lord. Bless him, Father, for being obedient to you, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, bless every listener, God. Bless them right now in Jesus' mighty name, God. And we thank you. We thank you ahead of time, Father. We thank you that anything we ask is already given in Jesus' name. And it is so. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, I want to first say just...
Please visit the website, www.itsallaboutyoumagazine.com. That's www.itsallaboutyoumagazine.com. To be placed in a magazine, get an ad, newsletter, or article. Publisher Tiffany Thompson also has a ministry. Visit that site at www.itsallaboutyoumintl.org. That's www.itsallaboutyoumintl.org for more information on events or speaking engagements. The Western World One Network has never been easier to connect with Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and WesternWorldOne.com. Until now, by using our mobile app, just log on to www.westernworldone.com and click yes to the mobile app. That's it. That's all. One button does it all. WesternWorldOne.com.
Hello?
Hey, are we still on?
Yeah, I don't know what the site just said, and I wasn't connected. Okay. There we go. Hey, man. Pastor Brown?
Yes.
Okay, God bless you. Okay, I didn't know what went on. Hey, man. Okay, I'm going to, first of all, I'll just give you a chance to tell the listeners about you and who you are and what it is you do.
Well, I'm a...
This line clicked off. Let's see. I'm going to wait for him to call back in. Okay, well... I don't know where, but I think the mic had went down, so don't know where it was going. We'll do it. Get it back in here. Here we go. Pastor Brown, you back?
Yes. I don't know. I got a little disconnected there.
Hey, you know, I'm going to tell you just like this, man. We know that devil trying, boy. We know he trying. You know, it's just going to be an awesome show. But go ahead. Go ahead, sir. Finish telling us about yourself.
So, yeah, I'm the senior pastor of Chosen Generation in the South Shore area on 71st in Ridgeland. And then God has blessed me to be involved with social justice, social transformation work through an organization called Young Leaders Alliance, where I'm actually the national president. 27 years old. God has not blessed this man of God to be married just yet. And I'm just a lowly servant. I'm just trying to do the Lord's work. That's all.
Amen.
Yeah, people, when they give the introduction, they get to, you know, they say about their spouse and all their kids, it's coming in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
You know, I had a question for you. You know, but you say you're 27 years old, is that correct?
Okay. Yes, sir.
But you've been a young man, God, what gave you that, you know, what anointed you? What made you say, you know what? What age did you just start to say, you know what, I'm going to give my life over to Christ? I don't know if you were tired. I don't know if you were born into it. You know, just what made you want to give your life over to God?
Well, I definitely shout out to my mom and my father. They raised me up in the faith and admonition of God. The Bible clearly lets us know you train up a child in the way it should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. And my family, my parents really exposed me to fivefold ministry as a child. So there was no doubt that God was real. And having had prophetic and apostolic encounters with him, pastor, and having a pastor who was really great while I was growing up, it kind of put the root in me. And, of course, I rebelled. But you know that if you've ever been in the presence of the Lord, not being in it, it's a difference. You can tell. And of course, I just got tired of doing things my way and just went ahead and submitted to the Lord, I think at the age of about 17.
Wow.
Submitted. I chose to really believe in him at 17, really, really believe in him. I didn't do things perfect from that point, but I've always loved God.
Okay. Wow.
How long have you been pastoring?
I've been pastoring now for 5 years.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. I see. Also, there's another organization.
Yes.
Can you tell me about that?
The Young Leaders Alliance. I came to really understand faith without works is dead, and I wanted to get engaged with community work, community organizing, and God gave me one day I was laying down in my living room, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, the solution for the city is in the young people. And when he spoke it to me, I jumped up and I said to the people who were in my house at the time, I said, God said the solution for the city is the young people. And it was in that moment he gave me the Young Leaders Alliance. And what it basically is we go into communities and we rally those who want to be responsible and take charge and take the lead in their local community. And what we do is give them the resources to do it, to fight for the efforts that are dear to that community. And in exchange, our requirement is that they make sure that a young person is a part of the leadership.
Wow. Wow. And let me ask you a question, because you just gave a key thing that the young person is a part of it. Do you think that's part of the problem, that they're not a part of being a part of something? Because like we go to church. Go ahead.
No, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. But
Absolutely.
We miss it when we don't understand it. Everything that we as adults are doing is really simple. We're creating an inheritance. And the person who's going to inherit it, they have to know how to properly manage what they will inherit, or they will mishandle what they won't understand. And I hear oftentimes parents are often saying, stay out of grown folks' business. Well, after a while, they're going to be grown folks. And we have to make sure that we keep our children active, informed, engaged, so that they're learning about what they're getting ready to come into so they can sustain what we fought for.
Amen. Great answer. I love that. You can cut in when you get ready, Dennis, because, you know, I'll start flowing.
Amen. Amen. My next question to you is, I know the KOB, the Kids on the Block, that's correct.
Kids Off the Block, that's Diane Lash.
Yeah, Kids Off the Block. Okay, all right. Now, with that there, is that more so just pretty much, you know, you're talking about thugs, the drug dealers, however, what kind of chemistry that made you want to say, okay, let me just go ahead, even though I know this is like an epidemic when it comes to black history, you know, with our black African-American people, mainly because, you know, we are from the South Side, West Side, you know, and they, you know, and the media do kind of, you know, transpose it on us. What made you get the courage to say, you know what, I'm going for them? You know, let me get them off the street and let me go ahead and turn this into the young leaders. Because I see the stepping process. It's kind of going smooth there. So, you know, what made you come up with this kind of chemistry like that?
Well, Diane Latiker is the president of Kids Off the Block. And what this amazing woman did was simply open up her house for the neighborhood kids to come out of the streets and have a place where they can they could be safe and they could thrive. And what ended up happening in the Roseland community was it attracted, of course, the young people who felt motherless or parentless, and they found that to be a safe place. And the ones who a lot of people overlook or marginalize or outcast, they became a part of what's now known internationally as Kids Off the Block. Young Leaders Alliance is a supporter and a friend of Kids Off the Block. But as far as me as an individual, I like real. I love real. And some of the most genuine and real people that you can find are the ones who are in the streets. And I laugh all the time because I say some of the hardest people are the people that's in the church, but some of the softest, most willing and open people are the ones in the street.
Well, what is your how do you get them to open up? Because you know when you're talking about the street, where like you said, they seem to be hardcore. To some people, they seem to be violent. You know, they're afraid of them. What's your method?
Right, and that's why I think that it's the other way around. I think that the church world is the hard one, the hardcore, the violent one. And I think that the ones in the street are the ones, they're already open. But what it takes is you have to have enough boldness and enough courage and enough love for you to get past what would seem to be an impossible exterior. Because in the streets, it's about survival. It's really about survival. And it's in a lot of times, these are people who are in a daily routine looking for a solution or answer. One of the young men recently told me, he said, I wake up every day knowing that I have about 700 obstacles every day that I have to get through. And I'm just grateful every chance I make it past one.
Wow.
Because not making it past one could mean I'll end up in the grave. So
Wow. With
that kind of thinking, you just simply come to him. Like I said, just be real, genuine. There's no necessarily formula. I come as a brother. I come as a friend. I come as a person in the community that cares. And I want to help you knock down some of these obstacles. And when you make a promise, you keep it, and then you'll have a friend for life.
Wow. That's right. Yeah, I find
it to
be true.
Mm-hmm. So simply put, I believe that if the church would, we got to stop having church and we got to be the church. If we actually be the church and actually go out and just share the love of Christ, and I mean just simply, and I'm talking about instead of, we have, there's so much judgment. For example, let's deal with the parents. We know that people have the whole sagging pants thing. But instead of going to the person with the sagging pants and saying, pull your pants up, how about going to the sagging person, going to them and saying, or basically offering them, just got to offer them a different way. Or ask them, have you eaten today? Or how you feeling today? And then you'll get to those other conversations.
You get the love out the way first. And once you get that love to open up the doors, and then you get into the, to the grime of it, man. That's a beautiful thing, And also, too, I like the fact that, like you said, that the church is more hardened than the ones on the streets. You know what I'm saying? Jesus did say, go out on the highways and the byways to preach. And also did say, when you speak to them, if you can't get to that person, shake the dust where you stand and take your peace with you. And then also, too, the question for you is, when you said that the church is the hardest part, what do you mean by that? I mean, as far as the embrace, or, can you explain that to me a little bit more?
I think that that could be generalized in a lot of senses, but one thing that I marvel at all the time is that I got relationships with people who are in the church house, I got relationships with people who are in the street. And I could call the person that's in the streets to back me up way faster than I'll ever be able to call on what should be my fellow brother or sister in Christ.
I got you.
And
you almost made me start shouting. Go ahead.
And what I mean by that is, in church, we hug, we clap together, we shout together, we say things to our neighbors, and half the time, We don't know the person. We don't talk to them throughout the week. We don't even really pray for them. We've come to a place, I feel personally, and I'm not trying to attack the church, but we've come into a place where it's like a show. It's like a routine. But we got to get to the place where we understand that faith is, we were supposed to operate on faith, not by what we see, but only by what we believe. But the what we believe is not about speaking it into existence. That's about the work. Faith being the substance of what we're hoping for and the evidence of what we don't see, which means that we continue to work for what we're believing God for. We move towards it actively, and we watch God make it manifest because of that.
Amen. Amen.
I hope that makes, did I make sense with that?
It made a lot of, but
my mic was off.
Was it? Okay. Oh.
What them people that, tell them people to start clapping. I heard all them people that was in the studio.
Hey, man, you know, I was sitting here.
That's right.
I was sitting here with my mic off, and I was like, you know, Jesus. Like, because, you know, everything that she was saying, it was punching. It was like gut feelings. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, that made too much sense. You know, I even like the fact that you said that a person will, you know, that's from the streets will come faster than a person will that's in church. And if you notice in the Bible, that's when Jesus, when, you know, the New Testament, when he said that, you know, basically the people that he went for, he didn't go for no punk. You know, he went for all the tax collectors, fishermen. You know, he went for everybody that he could, and he started downplaying the actual Pharisees and the Sadducees because they had their own rules and regulations. And I'm not downplaying the church, folks. I know there are some people that will stand up, you know. But if you already got somebody that's in the streets, they ain't fear of nothing. This is what they do. You know, the church, you're supposed to show love. You know, this is how they get down. And sometimes, you know, you're trying to get it twisted. That's why I said a lot of the guys that are in church are soft. You know, and it's like, okay, how can you define soft? You know, yeah, okay, well, we might do see some guys in there, you know, saying that are soft. But at the same time, they are, that's the house of the state. That's what you're supposed to do. Let me stop. You just answer your question. You are on the right track, brother. Keep going. Keep preaching. Here.
It's something that I found to be very interesting. That's funny. Something that I found to be interesting. You know, and I can, like, have these stories for days. And just, when I tell you, like, life has just been so – I've just learned so much doing this work that it just really blessed me. I had a few guys call me and check on me, and they've done it like continuously throughout the week. And it came to a point where I just was like, you know, I keep telling y'all I'm good, I don't need anything, I'm okay. Why do y'all keep calling me? And one of the guys said to me, because we know that if you're good, we're good. And they said, you pretty much all we got.
Wow.
You're all we got. We're not outside of you. We don't have nobody else should actually come in to check on us and take care of us and make sure we're good. If we go to court, stand there with us. You know, sometimes you don't even have to do nothing. You could just show up while they're going through. And what I've come to find out is you keep planting the seed and let God water it. And some of the same individuals who would say, I don't like the church, or preachers are phony, or this, that, and the other, or they've been hurt, are some of the same ones that will say, well, can I come to church with you?
Wow. A safe haven to say it's okay to come in. Wow. That's beautiful.
So what I believe is that the church was supposed to always be the tone setter. It was supposed to set the tone for life. It was never supposed to become trending. It was always supposed to be a lifestyle. And we've allowed church to become trending that you almost know what's going to take place by the denomination. I know what every service is going to be like based on the denomination at the end of it.
Wow.
And we the church has, you know, anything that becomes trending, we know trends change. So when we allow the church to become a trend, once everybody got tired of the trend, it died away, and essentially the church lost its place as the moral and the tone setter.
Wow.
And that's in my opinion.
Yeah, because honestly, I mean, how could you fight with that? How could you argue with that? Because the thing about it is, what, and I'm piggybacking off what he's saying, I have
had a few run-ins with church people, Christians, whatever you want to call them, and they truly believe, you know, I shared with them last week, I said, I think we'll see more miracles if we were on one accord, if we were in unity as the body should be. And someone got offended because I said that. I said, well, I'm not going to change my mind. I'm not going to take it back because we're looking, God's desires to do miracles, you know. And go right ahead, because I know what I was talking about. Go ahead, brother. Go right ahead. wow.
So what our young people need is we need the works. We need the action. You know, it was the miracles that drew the multitude to Jesus. There was actual demonstration of the power that was contained inside of him. And we may not be seeing a massive movement of blinded eyes opening and deaf ears being opened and lame walking, but we can at least start with standing up for our young people. We want them to come to church. We want them to participate. And guess what they want? They want someone to care. So we would just take a stand for them and actually fight for, not, and it doesn't always necessarily have to be a fight. That's just my mentality, because I seem like I'm the color purple. All my life I had to fight. But if we would just stand up for our young people and love them and tell them who they are, then we will see a change. They will support us. They will show up. They will participate. And one thing I just told my church on Sunday, as it relates to, and I can change it to this, people don't leave church. People leave people. So if we develop relationships, then we'll start to see the manifestations that we're supposed to.
Wow.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, when you go in there, and it kind of, the way you stated that, it made it say, okay, we're going to let all the walls down. You know, because, you know, when people come to church, you know, we come to hear the word, and that's what they say. I'm just going to church. I'm going to go hear the word, and unless I hear the word, then I'm going to do this. But when you're saying people meeting people, you know, it's like fellowship. It's a family, you know, and I applaud you for that, because, you know, everything that, you know, the question that we're hitting you with, you know, not only that you got a good answer to it, but I could really see the visual, you know, of even saying that, okay, when I get out here and do that, I see it. You know, I see it. You're saying, hey, first thing you start out with, hey, did you eat today? You know, just a little recap. Mm-hmm. You know, those things there, man, you know, when you think about it, man, are beautiful, because there's nothing but love. Like you said, Jesus did the miracle. With the fish, you know, and the bread, you know, those things, man, are beautiful, man. You're not doing nothing but practicing, not doing nothing, I'm not going to say that. You are practicing our Father's footsteps, and I love that about you, brother. Go ahead, keep going, man, keep going.
Yeah. I want to ask a question. Many times I hear that it starts from home, or it's because of a lack of a father, or no father, or no mother, or, you know, whatever the case may be. What are your thoughts?
That there's a lack of parenting?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I think that is, you know, a lot. What starts there? What particularly starts with the lack of parenting?
As far as the children, the youth being on the street, or feeling the way that they're feeling unloved, not feeling as they're being cared for. And so they so they go to the street and demonstrate it on the street, take it out on the street, or on themselves.
I believe that there is, depending on the level of intensity of that, there's a lack of community. There's a lacking of the village, not just the mother and the father.
Wow.
There's a lacking of proper education. There's a lacking of economic opportunity. There's a lacking of the church being the light and the moral compass. There's a lacking of, it's across the board, so that we understand that just like God gave the church fivefold ministry gifts, if you have one of them not in operation, how do you get to the perfecting? you don't. So you have to, you know, understand that everybody has a part to play. Somebody told me, you cannot change the world. And I almost believed it until I realized that I can affect every person, every part of the world that God allows me to encounter. And then they will infect every part of the world they encounter. And eventually, if we're all doing the right thing, the world should be a better place. And one thing that has happened with America is that we have made it really clear that God is not welcome, and no longer is it in God that we trust. But why? Because the parts of the component, the components and the parts that made us, that put us on fire for God, something's went missing.
Wow. Amen. Amen. That's powerful. I mean, I want to tell anybody that's listening, if you have any questions, feel free to press the one button. All of these questions that we're asking him, they are not prescripted. He did not know anything about the questions. And because what's in him, it's in him. It's truth is in him. The Spirit of God, the love of God is in him. I know it because I know my Father. And like Dennis said, these questions, we're rolling. I mean, he acing them. So y'all got to call in, and I know y'all online. I'm looking at you. Y'all need to press this one button and help us out because he acing these questions. And especially if you have any sons like me, I had a son. I have three. And one of them was shot last year in March. He was shot in the foot and in the leg over here on 16th Street, somewhere where I feel like I thought he shouldn't have been. You know, just got off work, went around his friends. And I was just thinking, what if the bullets would have killed you? Thank God they didn't, but that would have been another TV commercial news, another news clip saying another parent, because I noticed this about us. We always say, she always got something good to say about her son. You know, those parents that lose their children in gunfire or whatever the case may be, and she's on TV weeping and crying, and saying that her son was, you know, an all straight A student, and he was this and he was that, and our own people have something negative to say, and I'm thinking that could have been my story, and that could have been me on the news. And the truth of the matter was, my son is not on the street. He left work just to go hang out. He got off work and just to go hang out with his friends. And was in the midst of a gunfire.
Wow.
And got hit. And so it's not all the time that the children are homeless. Because my son isn't. He had a job. He has his mother. His father not together. But he still didn't. He would have been. It seems like we label them. The minute they get shot, it's like it's just another one bites the dust. You know, he shouldn't have been over there. You know, instead of coming together, everything that he's saying, coming together as a community, understanding it does take a village. So I challenge you all to press that one button and ask this man of God some questions. Resources, if not for you, for someone else. Like he said, to spread this. The gospel can be spread throughout the earth, and the world can be changed through the spreading of the gospel, through the spreading of resources, the spreading of information. Amen. And then another thing, are there any resources for the parents, because now they're going to the street like at 10, probably younger than that, but I'm just going to say 10 years old. Are there any resources for those children, for those parents, to draw their children back in? Hello?
Yes, you asked me was any are you asking me is there any resources for the parent?
I'm sorry.
So were you asking me was
Yes, I'm asking you. Are there any resources? Are there, you know, when I grew up, there was the Martin Luther King Girls and Boys Club. That's where I used to go. And so now I asked some of the parents about these places because all my children are like in their 20s now. So and they're telling me this, that it's not many out there. Are they? Do you know of any?
Well, I'll say that mainly on the south and the west side of Chicago, that's why there is no real tax base, because it's mostly made up of social service organizations and nonprofits. Most of the land is consumed by nonprofit organizations on the south and the west side of Chicago, and mainly those are churches. So they're given a tax exemption, which those taxes could be used for the development of that local area. But they're given that tax exemption because they're supposed to provide a service for the community. So one thing that I've come to understand is people will say it's nothing out there, but a lot of the times they've not even done the research or they don't know how to do the research.
Okay.
Every area is allocated federal money, state money, and local money. And these organizations, a lot of times, they obtain this money. And because the people don't participate, they either lose the funding or a lot of the times you have fraud, et cetera, et cetera. And my organization in particular, we are doing a lot of tremendous things, but a lot of people they've not found out about us, or they don't support. So you have to support too. That's how you kind of have to, you kind of got to get active. You can't just go to church, go to work, go home, go to work, go to church, go home, go to work, go to church. Every now and then go do something for yourself and then don't think there's nothing, that your area has nothing to offer. It will be deprived of the most important resources, you, because you're not active.
Wow.
That's right. I have a
How many parents, I find it funny when a lot of the parents, you know, there'll be an incident at school with the child, then the parent will come up there and act crazy with the school faculty, but they've never attempted to be on an LSC, they never attempted to be on a CAC meeting, they never attempted to be I can't even think of the name of that thing that the parents are, is it PTA?
PTO,
they've not even been on the PTA or anything that would have allowed them to see who those are, who are educating their children are, and what kind of character they have, what kind of personality they have. You have to kind of get involved. You can't just show up and judge it, because you really won't know.
You know, I'm so glad that you did say that too as well, because you know. I mean, after this tour, I have a caller down and did press that button. I'm going to bring it right in, too. It was so good that you said that now, because now the school showing that they even taking a step further. Now they calling you, they shooting you a text message, they letting you know who they're going to have as a speaker. I know with my child, you know, the school will call all the time, and they'll let me know. And one time they was calling right before school had started, they was actually having meetings. On the panel, and they say you can press the one button if you want to speak to somebody, if you want to speak to the actual district police, the chief of the officer of, you know, of the staff, or if you want to speak to the principal of your school, if you want to speak to, and it was just like, these are people that be on TV, on television, that you can actually really say something to them. You know, and I was like, wow, that's a good interaction that they taking that step forward, you know, instead of just how, like you said, it seemed like since we was young, man, it was just embedded that, okay, something happened at the school, the first thing that's going to happen is your mother or your father going to go up there and they're going to snap off, mainly the mother, going to go up there and they're going to snap off because of this.
Yeah, I actually love my mom did that for me. It was hilarious, but there's two things that I, you know, to kind of try to make it home. Number one, one of the strongest movements in America right now is the same-sex movement. And the reason is because they're so unified and they will do whatever it takes to make sure that they've infiltrated every arena, so much so that preachers are even afraid to preach on homosexuality because it may become a hate crime. So,
wow.
And one of the best schools in Chicago, one of the most prestigious multi-million-dollar schools in Chicago, is in Little Village, and the reason is because when they threatened to close the school, you can look it up. All of the parents went on a fast, and they told the government, "We will not eat until our children's education is secure." And those parents refused to eat. The businesses were being deprived. Nobody was eating. It was almost like a plague of starvation in Little Village. And the government officials gave in, and they have one of the best schools in the entire city.
Look at that, man.
Wow.
You know, before that you ask another question, that was. Before you ask another question, let me bring Virus. Hey, Virus, how you doing?
Hi, I'm fine.
Oh, we great. Yeah, we here on live. I'm calling Pastor Jay Brown because I got to keep getting his name correct. I'm going to get it right before we end the show.
Okay.
Did you have a question, comment, or concern?
Sure. I got a question concerning my son. He was raised in this church home, and actually he's right now calling on the other line, and I can't accept his call because I'm speaking it. In reference to you all. I think he's a real good kid, you know, coming up. I raised him up in the church home. He had a little brother. They were good kids, and I tried to do the best with them, raising them up in the church home. And somewhere down the line, you know, somebody, maybe a block boys got in their ear, you know, and they went left field. They didn't go the way that I taught them, the way that I raised them. It was something else out there that they wanted to get a hold to or get into, you know. And right now we're struggling with that. I hadn't experienced anything with harm being done to him as a shooting, as Tiffany said, with her son. But they lived the same, you know, area. You know, they lived in the same area. They probably grew up around the same people. Probably ran into each other a few times out there in the areas. But he got himself into some big trouble now, and he's facing time in the penitentiary, 4 years, actually. And I just wanted to ask a question, if you see it, if God will lay it on your heart to know if change will come, will he take this time to sit down and think about everything I preached to him about, you know, about God changing him, you know, about turning it over to the Lord and asking God for forgiveness and asking God to make his crooked path straight. Seeing it's something different, you know, the showing him he can be a better role model for his little brother, because right now with him jacking his own self up in life and different things, he has a little brother that's 15 years old following him. Now, he's a man, and he's 18, and, you know, he hasn't gotten it right. And I'm just looking for peace for him. I'm looking for guidance for him where he can, you know, come home and, you know, maybe guide his brother on the right track. So I pray every day for him. You know, it's hard to see your child go away to live a life where they're calling and they're like, well, mama, we get treated like dogs here. We like, you know, it hurts, you know, as a parent because you didn't have to go there, you know. You had everything that you needed to have at home. You had a good mother. You had a working mother. Your mother wasn't a drug addict. You know, you didn't have to run out there to get the quick fast money or whatever you were running out there to, the street life and it all. So I'm just constantly staying prayed up, and it's just been heavy on my heart for this test, be part of his testimony. I mean, I have faith in God. I know, you know, all things are possible through Christ that strengthens me. But I just wanted to hope it happens. You know, I'm just praying it happens sooner than later. You know, maybe he can do the right thing to get on track and get himself back home, you know, and be an advocate to some of these younger children. Let them know that, you know, this is not the way to go. It's something else that you can do, you know. And you can only express that to someone when you've been through. So that's my question, basically. Do you see change for my son?
Do I see change?
Yeah, I mean, is God laying that on your heart that he'll straighten his act? I mean, you know, straighten his act up. But is that this will be a test for his testimony?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because I never met you or your son. But what I will say is that while you were talking, I believe that this is much more so for you too. And the reason that I say that is because thinking about when I was trying to do my thing and run the streets, it was almost like it was a test for my mom as well. Do you really believe in the God that you raised him to believe in? And you said, I pray in the morning. You got to turn up that prayer life. You got to get effectual. You got to be fervent. And it can't just be in the morning time. It got to be without ceasing. And you got to speak and decree and declare what you want to see be the result of the case. Now, a step further, what I will then say is that when we get off the air, we need to get you my information, because we will be coming to court with your son. And let's see what God can do to turn this around. But as you, it's almost like Job, you live in this good life, and now you're doing everything that you're supposed to, and you got the relationship with God, and then God says, okay, now it's time for you to take a test to see if you've really got the lessons that I've gotten you, because I got a plan at the end of it anyway to give you double. So did what you raised him in, if God's word is not, if God is not the Son of Man to lie nor repent, then what you've instilled in him is there. So then now it's time for you as a mom to call it forth, to begin to, in the prayer room, call forth the values and the lessons and the God that you've instilled into him, and ask him for the, I feel God right there, ask God for the divine intervention. But at the same time, once again, this becomes the example. Now those people who you should be able to lean on and depend on, your pastor, your friends, and your family, now it's time for you all to take a stand and show up for your son. He needs to see where, you know, this could be his turning point. This could be the moment that gets his attention, and it is going to be a good attention getter or a bad one, depending on how the believer responds. I've seen judges make rulings, and then we've gone in there and turned them around just because we stood on faith. So I'm committing to seeing this thing through, not just doing it because I'm on a radio show. I'm doing it because this is what I do every day, all day. We will be in for the long haul. We'll come in there, talk to your son. We'll try to get him what he needs. So I don't know how we can do that, but let's get her my information.
Okay. Well, I apologize. Amen. I may have took it wrong. I read the flyer. I thought I said that you were a prophet. So that's why I asked you, was God laying that on your heart? But I truly appreciate your concern, you know, and I receive it. I receive everything that you just said. And thanks a lot. You know, I mean, my heart was real heavy before I called, and I tried to write down what I wanted to ask. And it was like maybe God just showed up and showed out and had his own way with you. So,
I definitely thank God for prophetic sight and sense. And that's what I am telling you. I'm telling you that I know by the Spirit of the Lord that this is more than about your son. This is a pulling for you and your relationship with God. I don't necessarily know what it is, but this is a place where it's time for it to go to the next level, and God wants to show you more. God wants you to begin. It's almost like I can feel in my spirit a challenge for you to even just be in his presence more and spend more time with him, because when your son comes out of this thing, it's not going to be just a victory for your son. It's going to be a victory for your family. And you'll know for sure, without any doubt, who God is and who he's been in this encounter. But I do in my spirit believe that it's God that had you to make the call and push the number one button to make the connection. And that's why I'm telling you, woman of God, we're going to be in this thing together, and we're going to let God do his thing.
Thank you so much. I truly appreciate it.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know about you all, but my hands went in the air. Just to hear someone say they're going to be at court with you and your son. When you know you show up at court every time by yourself, and understanding that the courts look at this, they look at who's there to support you. That's a great big deal. And I'm sorry, my passion. I'm telling you, my youngest son got in trouble 3 times this summer. I mean, they were all misdemeanors. And he hadn't even had a record. And the first thing the judge asked is, who is in court with him? I'm the only one. I raised my hand. Ma'am, do you want to step forth? Yes. Then he asked him to read off his background. He didn't have one. He said, so what is he doing? What is he doing? He didn't have a background. Oh, his background was he has a job at a temp service, and he was in college. But you were in jail. And so the judge stared at me. And he had mercy. He had mercy. But even though that may not be her case, I'm excited, you all. I'm telling you, just to hear somebody say that we'll show up in court, get my information. Because I know how it feels to ask somebody to show up in court and they don't come. And you've sown money into them, their ministry, their church, and everything about them, and they still don't show up. So go right ahead, because y'all about to get me happy.
You know what? Let me intervene real fast. You know, like all my pastors, like when we on fire for God, man. Me and my pastor be like, man, I'm gonna run through a window. Or I'm gonna kick the mic down. Because you know you be on fire, man. I mean, and I love it about you, Pastor Brown, because you did. You know, that was the king theme, because my auntie is a co-pastor, and that's all she kept saying. His family needs to be in court. I found that my uncle was locked up for 26 years, man, and now they got on medications. He won't take his meds. You know, he's going insane, and you know they've been locking him up and doing things to him. That's the first thing that the judge, judge do say is who's in court. You know, and when they do see that multitude of people, that's what you have. And my pastor always tells me that Pastor Mo sales always will say, man, it's a big thing. It's a big deal to be a part of something. They ask you what you're a part of, you can say, well, my pastor is this. It automatically changed the whole flow of whoever it is, and it could soften their heart. It did Pharaoh like that. So I know that there's a way. But you know what? We only got about 2 minutes left. So Pastor Brown, give us your information. You got about 90 seconds. Go. So how they can get in contact with you?
You can contact me at 312-404-9127. Once again, 312-404-9127, Pastor Jedediah Brown. Love to talk to you.
And this also is recorded. So anybody that missed it, they can always go back to the website and play this. We are live, but we are being recorded as well. It goes directly to the website as soon as the show is over. I want to ask Pastor to pray for the people that are listening and to pray us out of here, if you don't mind, please.
Father God, we thank you for this encounter. We thank you for the radio show with Tiffany Thompson and the co-host. We thank you, Lord God, for the vision, and we ask that you will continuously prosper and every listener, every faithful listener. We ask that you will bless them and that you will increase their measure and touch their lives, and that you, God, would even spark something inside of them to see the world changer that you've called them to be, to understand that you put a treasure in them as an earthen vessel. And I'm asking you, God, even right now, that you will begin to stir up every gift and that you'll begin to activate it, and you'll begin to cause them to see themselves the way that you see them, that they'll begin to affect the world around them and make it a better place, as your will is, that it be as on earth as it is in heaven. And I speak right now to their environment and to their community, that there shall be peace tonight. I'm asking you, God, to deal and touch every mother that has a child, touch every person that has a job, touch every person that has food, and bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.